With any luck, my presentation will show up. There it is. Okay. First, it's the Department of Veterans Affairs, and it sort of changed along the way. I have no commercial relationships. No one, alas, has tried to buy me. It's not that my information is not of great value, but no, having always been a civil servant or sometimes uncivil, depending on my mood, I've worked for the government my entire career, and it's been a privilege to work with veterans, and I have a couple of roles at the VA at the present. I'm the environmental health physician, which means I run the registry programs, the Persian Gulf Registry, the Agent Orange Registry, ionizing radiation, and such. And I also work on the compensation and pension side because I've worked at the VA for 42 years. And so I understand the background of many of the issues. The Department of Veterans Affairs is one of the oldest part of the federal government. And it was founded immediately after the Revolutionary War to take care of the widows and orphans from that war. And so it's not a latecomer. It has always been there as part of the federal government and what is seen as the federal responsibility to take care of those who have served their country in the military. And the Department of Veterans Affairs, I like to liken it somewhat to a three-ring circus. And there are various agencies within the Department of Veterans Affairs, one of which is the Veterans Benefits Administration, which is the part of the VA that provides school loans, home loans, compensation, pension. The Veterans Health Administration, which is a smaller agency, which is where I work, which is the hospitals and clinics. It's the biggest medical system in the United States and perhaps in the world, but it's dwarfed by VBA. And then the National Cemetery Administration, which is like the cemetery one sees along 280 going down toward the airport here. And there are 80 or more national cemeteries around the country. So looking at VA benefits in brief, there is the disability and compensation, which is the biggest part of the budget. And pension, which is just on the basis of need. Anybody that's ever served in wartime can get a pension just because they need it. The government doesn't want any veteran standing by stop signs asking for quarters while you're waiting for a light to change. But many veterans say that nobody is helping me, but sometimes they don't know to apply. And so even though there is a continuing outreach program to let people know what they're available for, many times people think there is nothing offered for them, and it's just because they don't know about it. There are programs they don't know about. And so that's a challenge, really, to let people know what is available for them. Healthcare is a relatively small portion of the VA program, but of incredible importance to those people that use the VA for their healthcare. What a service-connected disability compensation is not a gift, and it's not a pension based on need. It's based on the fact that the VA has the premise that veterans should be returned to their families in the same condition as at enlistment or compensated for those injuries. And the VA accepts claims for any and all medical or psychiatric conditions attributable to medical service. The largest reason why people don't get compensation is because either they never applied in the first place, or because they started an application and stumbled along the way and just gave up. This was particularly true for Vietnam veterans because they were so vilified in many ways coming back from a war that had lost the public favor, and that got transferred from the war to the individuals who had been drafted and sent there, not necessarily of their own accord, but they were the ones that suffered the brunt of it. And some of them ran screaming for the doors of the military, didn't stop for a discharge physical exam, didn't apply for any of the benefits that might have been available to them had they but asked. But there's no time limit, and I still see veterans from World War II that are just now applying, and because of the time they felt there were others who were more worthy. And I always say it's not a contest between you and other people. Every person is looked at individually on the basis of their own experience and their own need. But many people still have that, particularly World War II vets, that others suffered more than me, and I shouldn't take resources that someone else might use better. But that's not the way it's set up. So the injuries that are incurred or aggravated by the military are clear if you've had a war wound. But sometimes if it's something like an exposure to a lot of noise, and the military is so noisy that 80% of the people come out with hearing loss or ringing their ears. But it can also be exposure to chemicals, exposure to an unsafe work environment. And if this was an industry, we would say, well, you have to regulate the industry and find safer tools and better working circumstances. But it's sort of impossible because by definition, it's a job that's dangerous. And it's in uncontrolled environment, uncontrolled circumstances. And so you can put padding around the helmet as much as you want, but if someone blows a mortar at you, it's not going to help. So the non-traumatic occupational hazards, there are many. Agent Orange is one of the prime ones because it involved large numbers of troops. But there also is ionizing radiation from the atomic weapons in World War II during the tests and from depleted uranium munitions that were used in Persian Gulf, and also from airborne particles and hydrocarbons, which is something that we're still wrestling with from Persian Gulf. The herbicide spraying in Vietnam, there was an estimated 19 million gallons of Agent Orange, and this was used to remove leaves from the trees that provided cover for snipers that might be going down trails. And some of the veterans, even with medical problems relating to their exposure to Agent Orange, they said, well, if you were given the choice, knowing what we know about Agent Orange now, what would you say in 1968 to use it? They'd say, blast the leaves off those trees. And, I mean, it bought me 40 years. I'm sick now, but I'm still here 40 years later. So there are always trade-offs and balances. The name Agent Orange, many people said, yes, I remember it was sprayed on me, it was bright orange. No, it wasn't. But there was a band around the barrels that contained it, and there was an orange band, and so there was Agent Orange, Agent White, Agent Blue, and all those were just colors, color codes marking the barrels of the herbicides. And it seemed like a good idea at the time. This would save American troop lives by deforesting or defoliating forests. But then we know a lot more than we knew 40 years ago. We know that we're related to mice and that we're related to fruit flies, but we're also related to tomatoes. It's a farther cousin, maybe a fourth or fifth cousin, but we share some of the oxidative pathways, oxygen pathways and some of the other metabolic pathways. And so when you realize that we are related to other life forms, including plants, it shouldn't be a surprise that herbicides that are bad for plants might be bad for people, too. It might just take longer for the effect to set in, or it might selectively bother some and not others. But there were health concerns already showing up about dioxin in 1971, and that's when the program that began in 1962 was ended. It was ended for the spraying, and the amount in the air, which was the main part that was around, but of course what was it permeated into the soil is still there, and Dr. Schechter will talk about that more in the second session of this afternoon's program. The spraying was heaviest in what was called Three Corps. The military divided up at the north was I Corps, Two Corps, Three Corps, Four Corps. And Three Corps included Saigon and areas around. That's where the heaviest use was. And going back and trying to figure who was sprayed, for a while they tried to figure out who was sprayed by asking questions about, did you eat food that from fields that had been sprayed, where you sprayed directly, whatever. And it turned out you just couldn't figure it out, because the business of war is war, and it's not the business of collecting statistics. And so the statistics that were kept were not so good, and they did not have the sophisticated computers we have now. And so they finally realized that the data that was available that could be retrieved was not good enough. And there is a rule, and actually a law, to give veterans the benefit of doubt. And so if a veteran was 5 minutes in Vietnam, I mean, if they transferred planes in Saigon and they can demonstrate it, the VA says, fine, you were in Vietnam. And so for the purposes of applying for compensation for conditions related to Vietnam, all one has to do is to show one was in one of the areas where Agent Orange was used. And there has been research that's been going on ever since the Vietnam War, some products by CDC from Atlanta looking at birth defects, looking at selected cancers. One of the big problems is to try to run a study about what's exactly related to Agent Orange by epidemiologic studies is coming up with a proper control population. And that has been the problem. They are trying to do that now in Vietnam with the idea that there was spraying in the south but not in the north, and so maybe comparing north population and south population may be able to give us more information than we've been able to ascertain from looking at American troops. There was one study called the Ranchan study that looked at, it's sort of like, you know, herbicides Roundup. You know, you've got weeds beside your sidewalk and you use Roundup, which was a herbicide. Well, the Ranchan people were the section of the Air Force whose job it was to spray Agent Orange. And people would tell me that their clothes would become so permeated with it that their boots would become so stiff after 2 weeks they had to get new boots because the chemicals affected their boots and their clothing, and they were just sort of bathed in it. We figured they were the worst case, most exposed. And so those persons who have been followed since the war and looking both at their blood levels of dioxin, which is the contaminant in Agent Orange, and they did find that there was increase in diabetes. And many people said, yeah, but the Vietnam vets are so fat, you know, and they smoke so much. How can you attribute it to dioxin? But so when you look at that, even beyond what you would expect for their excess weight that the whole population of America has right now, they have more diabetes. And they also had more atherosclerosis than you would expect. It turned out not to be really useful looking at serum dioxin levels. At the top, the green bars are ground troops who were in Vietnam. And they had relatively low levels. The Ranchan group, which is down below and sort of the teal colored, depending on what their job was, had higher blood levels, residual blood levels of dioxin, but it was nowhere near some of the occupational exposures that have been seen in various industries. And it turned out here in San Francisco that the levels were no higher in the veterans we checked it on than in agricultural workers in the Central Valley, which may say something about the Central Valley and agricultural workers and what's used in the chemicals out there. But still, it wasn't useful. It cost about $3,000 a whack to do an Agent Orange level or a dioxin level. And right now, it's not done in the VA because it doesn't turn out to discriminate the veterans who were in Vietnam from the general population in California, for better or for worse. So the VA's response to the Agent Orange question was to set up the registry exams to try just look at veterans and see, first, do they have greater expression of certain illnesses? And if not, do they have unmet medical needs, and which they've done? And the VA has also sponsored some health studies. But it was decided that the National Academy of Sciences, a division therein, the Institute of Medicine, from 1992 to the present, has been tasked with the role of finding out as much as can be discerned from epidemiologic studies, population studies, animal studies, whatever they can put together about what the relationships are between dioxin exposure and illness. The Agent Orange registries, which have been going on since 1978, it just is a general medical test. Right now we look for diabetes, and if they're diabetes, we suggest they should go file a claim for diabetes as related to Agent Orange, if they have lung cancer, if they have myeloma. As of September 30th of this year, there were 573,000 of the 2 million veterans who fought in Vietnam that have applied for the registry. And those results are consolidated and analyzed, but that's only part of the information that the Institute of Medicine looks at. The advantage of the registry exams, they're free, there's no co-payment. It's not a disability compensation exam, but during the Bush era, as a money-saving thing, anybody who made more than $26,000 was not allowed to sign up newly to the VA for medical care. And in San Francisco, with $26,000 a year, you're almost on the street. But if you were in Vietnam, you come through a special category, a Category 6, of possibly exposed to Agent Orange, and you can enroll in the VA for medical care. So there's no charge for the exam, and it's a way into the VA for people who haven't been there before, and the results of that examination can be used by the veteran to apply to another agency within the Department of Veterans Affairs, namely the Veterans Benefits Administration, for a compensation. The requirement for the Agent Orange Registry and actually for compensation is to have served in Vietnam between 62 and 75. And there's a problem with Navy veterans. Those who were on river boats and were inland in Vietnam are what's called the Brown Water Navy. And they can apply for compensation for Agent Orange exposure presumptive. Blue Water veterans who were on the aircraft carriers 12 miles out beyond the 12-mile limit cannot, because it's thought that there was, from what they looked at, there was not enough Agent Orange that wafted through the air to get out to the ships for them to have been exposed. And in Korea, in Korea, they also used Agent Orange along the demilitarized zones between North and South Korea. So veterans who were there between 1968 and 71 can apply. And in Thailand, it's just recently, within the past months, that they recognized that Agent Orange was also used to keep down weeds around the air bases. At the time, it seemed, good thing to do. And so those people who had jobs patrolling the perimeter of the bases in Thailand can now apply. And there are people domestically, never left the United States, that taught application of herbicides. And they also got exposed, but they have to document their exposure, whereas if they were in Vietnam, it's presumed. They don't have to. It's just set as a given. If they were there, they might have been exposed. And so there was the Public Law 102.4 in 1991 established this presumptive service connection, because it had been so hard for veterans to try to determine where they had been or try to confirm that they had been exposed. The government says, okay, we'll give it to you. If you were there, you were there. And then the Institute of Medicine has been trying to figure out what medical conditions are associated. And they've issued their first report in 1994, and there's been a report every 2 years since. The first report showed that there was presumptive recognition of Hodgkin's disease, porphyria cutanea tarda, multiple myeloma, and respiratory cancers. And then in 1996, they updated that to look at some of the birth defects, and there's been a every two years there's been a report, and what they come up with gets passed on to the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, who then makes a determination of how that will be handled. And the advantage of having the Institute of Medicine make these determinations is that it's independent of the Department of Veterans Affairs, so there's no conflict of interest. Otherwise, one could say, well, the VA doesn't want to pay claims, and so they're not admitting that this or that or whatever is related to dioxin. But in this case, the VA doesn't make that determination. And the Institute of Medicine is specifically told, you know, that the potential costs of compensation of veterans or of their policies of any of their decisions as to what is related and is not are not to be considered. They are not to consider the financial aspects. They are just to do it on what's right basis of just what seems to be there. And they look for a statistical association with herbicide exposure to a particular illness. And they look at whether there was an increased risk of disease among those exposed to herbicides during service. But they also look at whether there's a plausible biological mechanism by which a particular condition could be related to herbicide exposure. And then the Institute of Medicine makes recommendations either if there is sufficient evidence of an association or that there's limited or suggestive evidence of an association. Because the VA is different than in court. In court, if you're looking, there must be a preponderance of evidence on one side for a decision to be made. But in the VA, if it's 50-50, it's always decided on the side of the veteran. And so if there's equipoise, it goes the veteran's favor. And then they, if there's inadequate or insufficient, they can also rate there. Let's see. The conditions with, for which there is sufficient evidence of an Agent Orange association are soft tissue sarcoma, which is a pretty rare kind of malignancy, non-Hodgkin lymphoma and Hodgkin's lymphoma, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and chloracne. And the thing about chloracne is chloracne had to have had onset within 3 to 4 weeks of exposure. And usually it cleared up within 1 year, but then almost always by 3 years, and the farthest out was 15 years after last exposure. So anyone who just comes up with a skin condition now, by definition, it's not chloracne. Because like snakes, we shed our skin, and the skin has changed so many times that the skin that one has now is not the skin one had in Vietnam. There are conditions with limited or suggestive evidence of association or those that are mostly the basis for compensation at present. And that's laryngeal cancer, lung cancer, and many people said, well, but the veterans all smoked. Well, yes, but even looking compared to populations that don't smoke or other smokers, they have more. Prostate cancer, and that's a difficult one because men, if they live long enough, maybe 80% of men will have prostate cancer. But it seems like veterans were getting prostate cancer earlier and sometimes with greater severity. Multiple myeloma, amyloidosis, which is uncommon, peripheral neuropathy. But usually the peripheral neuropathy associated with Agent Orange cleared up again within 2 years. And so a neuropathy that's just begun recently or gotten worse, maybe from diabetes or maybe from alcohol or something else, but it... if it has recent onset, it's not related to dioxin. Porphyria cutanea tarda, ischemic heart disease is the difficult one because there also we are dealing with a population that's obese, a population that smokes, often you know has diabetes, and it's hard to know what its cause is. But because there is still an increment of ischemic heart disease beyond what you'd expect even from all these factors, it's included. And if a veteran has presumptive exposure to Agent Orange and has ischemic heart disease, they can become service compensated for it. And diabetes, as I mentioned. And in men veterans, the only birth defect that's been found in the offspring is spina bifida, which is a failure of the spinal bones to close around the spinal cord during gestation. Hypertension seems to be associated, but that has not been accepted yet by the secretary as related. There are a number of birth defects that are recognized in offspring of women veterans who served in Vietnam, not necessarily associated with whether they were in high areas of high exposure to dioxin. And much more of the genetic material of a baby comes from the mother than the father. The DNA is half and half, but all the mitochondrial DNA comes from the mother. And then the mother's environment was what supported the baby for 9 months. And so there are many more birth defects in those offspring. The VA compensation requires an injury in service, a current medical condition, and something that connects the two. For Agent Orange, the injury in service was presumed exposure to dioxin. The current diagnosis is of the list I've just showed you, and the nexus is the determination by Institute of Medicine that there is a suggestive association. So then the degree of compensation is determined by VA schedule rating books, and it can go currently for 10% it's $127, 100% it's $2,769. So there is an effort to make whole to the degree one can veterans who were exposed. But the evidence is not necessarily the clear evidence that would be scientific. And how that's to be applied to the populations in Vietnam who are exposed to residual Agent Orange is unclear. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Owen. Questions?
My wife just died from exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
You don't talk at all about non-combatants who were working there in NGOs. And this bill that Veteran Peace Caucus...
How did she happen to be in Vietnam?
She was working as a peace worker, uh-huh. And she worked in the Central Highlands, which uh-huh. is a model from Colombia. I learned last week at Harvard School of Public Health. I don't remember the plan.
That's a different thing. That those are.
Can I please finish?
Well, okay.
I didn't interrupt you.
Well, okay, but the implied thing was you said that I didn't cover it, and I was going to say why.
Can I please finish?
Sure.
There were ALS is 1 in 50,000 approximately, went to 300,000 there. And there were 12 volunteers with this church supported group, and two already have ALS, my wife and somebody else who has a longer form. And they were both in the same area of Vietnam,
uh-huh.
in the Central Highlands, one was in Pleiku, and then my wife worked in Pleiku in the hospital, working as a volunteer. And so I think that, you know, there are a lot of casualties, as Barry Levy just said, that should be addressed in terms of this whole concern about war and its consequences beyond just the aid, the veterans.
Well, regarding your wife, that's a workman's compensation issue, and you should go back to the agency that she was working for at the time that she was there.
Dr. Owen is covering strictly the United Veterans Administration. You're bringing up a really important issue as to Barry about others, civilians. And Dr. Owen was strictly focusing on what his agency does. What needs to be increased is the civilian, the other people, your wife and others. And that's a different, although extremely important issue, of course.
But there's a growing body of information about the genetic predispositions to increased levels of toxicity based on HLA markers. I'm wondering if there's any potential or possibility of the VA integrating the HLA data that's been brought up by Richard Shoemaker and others into the databases to try to distinguish whether there are individuals who may have greater susceptibility. Those susceptibility patterns should show up in your data. I mean, not in yours, but in the VA data.
The VA data is not useful really for epidemiologic studies because it's self-selected as to who chooses to come forward to have the Agent Orange exams. So it's not a generalizable population. The point you make is good and is interesting, and I would think that should be addressed. That could be a research project. The registry itself can't be used for that, the registry data, but it's a very interesting point.
It could possibly come up under the former Air Force.
Yeah, that would be probably useful for, you know, folding it into the Ranchan study.
Several questions. You can answer whichever one you
Let's just do one at a time.
Okay. Well, all right. I just want to take up everybody else's time.
So
one of the questions was, Barry pointed out, and this is an interest of mine, in the effects of war on the families of veterans. And my understanding, especially in these current wars, is that those effects are widespread. There's transgenerational effects. There's effects on spouses. But they're not eligible for VA compensation or VA services. And so I wonder...
What do you mean?
Well, if you're the child, if you're the daughter, the son, or the wife of a veteran, your mental health treatment, is that covered by the VA?
No, the mental health, it is not. I mean, as a dependent, the veterans' compensation is increased by the number of dependents, wife, children, whatever they are. And those children, you know, can be supported through college for education. They can be provided in various ways. But the care of their secondary, you know, just if you're a disturbed kid because you have a PTSD father, that's been raging around the house with weapons all the time. How do you deal with that? There is no program right now
for that
to be covered. No, there isn't. I mean,
I know there's no program. I wonder if there was what your thoughts
were. It's Obamacare.
So, no, my other
we need to provide care for a whole population.
My other two questions were, you discussed the fact that we've looked at the exposures in the Persian Gulf War and Desert Storm. What kind of research is being done now in the environmental exposures of the current war? I know there was some research done on the burn pits.
Well, we're more aware, and even at the time during the Persian Gulf War, they had air sampling going on continually over the area and collecting material because they didn't want to be left in the position they were in Vietnam War of having exited the country with no information of what the environment that the troops had been operating in was. And so... there was effort, but you're always behind the curve. You only answer the questions that came up from your previous experience and not from the future. So maybe we can pass on the other. If we have more time, we'll come back.
This is about the mental health.
Well, I don't know any other than that.
In terms of disability compensation for veterans. So I went to a talk this morning, and somebody was saying that if you are dishonorably discharged, you are not eligible for veterans benefits.
That's true, but on the other hand, you can apply to have your discharge upgraded.
So my question was, a lot of the dishonorable discharges happening now are behavior related to mental health conditions. And so the question was whether there's any attempt being made to reevaluate how they decide to dishonorably discharge someone if their behavior was a result of their service in the war.
Yeah, well, that's a continuing DOD issue in which there is an effort to make sure that there was a basis for it, and one can appeal that. And often the reason that doesn't get upgraded is because people become discouraged and don't pursue that. There's a group here in San Francisco, Swords to Plowshares, that's very good in helping people get their discharge regularized. Depleted uranium. It's being looked at. It turns out it's not as much of a problem as one might have thought, although we don't fully know. It's depleted to the point that a piece of paper will stop the radiation. And the shells were covered with plastic, and that stopped the radiation. You could be sitting on the shells riding around a tank, and you won't have any significant exposure. The people who had exposure are those people that have radioactive a shrapnel from the depleted uranium, and it's within them, and they're having continual exposure to it. And those people are the canaries in the coal mine that are being looked at very carefully and persistently and regularly. And fortunately, they haven't shown up with much of anything unusual, untoward yet. But on the other hand, it took 40 years for some of the things from Vietnam to show up, so the story is not in.
And it's not like it's in the environment responsible.
No.
Session of one more speaker, so can I suggest that you catch Dr. Rowan afterwards?
Thank you.